Welcome to Digging Deep, the podcast where we offer bereavement bites for time-pressed professionals. I'm Heather Kightley, second-generation funeral director and the president and CEO of GFD. Today on our podcast, we have Rebecca Steckley from Dreisinger Funeral Home. Becky first joined Dreisinger's to assist with administration and quickly discovered her enthusiasm for funeral service. She went back to school, 2016, got her funeral director's license, 2018, and in 2020, bought into the business. She's now a co-owner and managing director of Dreisinger Funeral Home. Her focus on family values, along with her commitment to continuing education, enable her to create unique and meaningful services for each and every family. Becky is the president of the Ontario Funeral Service Association and strives to create community within the bereavement sector. She is a truly impressive professional. Today, Becky and I are going to be talking about being a woman in the bereavement sector. Welcome, Becky.
Thank you so much, Heather.
We are so thrilled to have you. Okay, let's kick this off. February 2024, Globe and Mail headlines, women are changing the face of death care industry. Let's talk stereotypes. What has your experience been as a woman in funeral service?
I mean, for years and years, it's been an old boys club. Women are relatively new to the industry in the last 20 years, but they've really turned the tables. I feel that where things used to be predominantly male, they're starting to be predominantly female, and the women in this industry are really doing a phenomenal job.
I would agree. So I am an old dog in this, and I got my license back in 1993. And I think one of the things that always struck me about being a woman growing up, well, I grew up in funeral service as well, but one of the things that struck me was I remember going to Humber College and them saying that women are taking over funeral service. So that's like 40 years ago, 30 years ago, women are taking over funeral service. But I think what I've seen over my career is that those women who came into funeral service with me are no longer here.
Right. I work with Grace Mahar, who's been in the industry for 54 years.
Yeah.
Grace was one of two women in her class, and now classes are predominantly female. So there has been a big switch.
But let's talk about the staying power, right? So we know that for the last 30 years, there lots of women have been coming into the sector. And even though that Globe and Mail headline was 2024, if you go back to 2018, Globe and Mail was like ran almost the exact same article, different generation of women. So talk to me about what you see coming in a little bit later, coming in at a really unique time in funeral service. What are the challenges to the staying power of women in funeral service? Why don't we stick around? Or why do only some of us stick around?
I think if you want to stay in funeral service for a long time, it has to be a passion. You can't just be in it to have a career, because let's face it, you can get a job in any other industry and be home with your kids at 5 o'clock. This is an industry where your work follows you home whether you want it to or not. We get calls at 2 a.m, and it's something that we have to deal with. We don't get to choose when people pass away, and it can be very consuming. You know, it really takes away from family life. It takes away from your friendships. Just being on call, there are so many demands, and we burn out. So I think a lot of people, you know, within even 5 years, the first 5 years, they're gone. And that's not just specifically women. It's just the entire industry. We lose really good people because they're tired. They're underpaid. It's industry wide. It's hard.
Let's dig into one of the things that you just said, because I think that it's probably something that everyone thinks about and not very many people talk about. And that is the experience of burying children and burying babies and how that changes you as a mom and how that affects you as a funeral director and as a business owner.
Mm-hmm. When you're working with babies and children, it does change you and affect how you parent your children. And I think a lot of it just makes you very cautious. I cut up the hot dogs. And when we go to the beach, you know, my kids know the dangers that are lurking in the waves.
You can see it happening, right?
Yes,
like this
yes.
is the stuff that I don't think people quite understand about how damaged you can get when you're having these experiences, like the death grip that you have on your kids and how you envision it. Has that been your experience too? Like you can see it happening?
Yes. My classmate, when I was in school, his father was lost in an undertow, just day at the beach. And his father was a strong swimmer who swam in triathlons. And ever since that experience where they couldn't even find his body, He was missing for 3 days. Do you think I'm going to let my kids go swimming by themselves anymore? You know, I am there within an arm reach of my 12-year-old, where, you know, 12-year-old should be comfortable swimming by themselves. But when there is an undertow, when the waves are, you know, you can, if the waves aren't there, that's fine. But when there is sort of a little,
like only just even
just
hint,
that
right?
Little, the little bit of wave, you do just stay close to them and just make sure that they're safe.
Yeah. And there's not really any support around that, right? Like, maybe this sort of brings in some of the pieces that I think that we want to talk about, which is, we talked a little bit about the staying power and how you have to kind of be a unique person to want to stay in funeral service. But at the same time, what can we do? What can we change, do you think, to be able to create an environment, not just for women, but for dads and, you know, all kinds of people to stay in the sector?
I think we need to change as funeral home owners and directors, or managers, sorry. I think the management needs to change in the way where they accommodate their staff a little bit more to make, you know, getting out of bed at 2 a.m. isn't fun for anyone, but when we can accommodate your daughter's birthday, when we can accommodate a dance recital, you know, a parent's anniversary party, when we can make ourselves available to cover a shift for one of our full-time directors, they're so much happier to step out and help us when we need the help, when we're busier.
Is there a time that you're comfortable sharing that you kind of felt yourself at that moment of, I'm not really sure that this is, or even just like, I'm not really sure I can even go in and face the day? Have you ever had moments like that? And what are the things that, what are the supports that you need or think that we need to build in the sector to be able to get us to be like, get us through those times and those moments?
I am very fortunate to be part of a really supportive team. So I don't have a lot of days like that, even when we have really busy days, when we have overwhelming days, when we have extreme trauma that we're dealing with, let's say, in the prep room. I know that I'm not going to have to face that alone. I know that we're going to have a great staff there together to get us through that. So I don't dread my days very often. I know that God only gives a person what they can handle, and I feel that there's strength in that too. But I think so much of it for us at our funeral home is just being a real family of funeral directors, and not just someone that you work alongside, but somebody that you work for. We were speaking of Grace earlier, and you know, Grace is arranging, but we might be embalming, making memory cards, and it's like we're working for Grace when she's made those arrangements for that family, and we are there to do everything that we can to make sure that Grace is fulfilling everything she's promised that family, that the family has the best experience that they can possibly have with the family or with our funeral home, and just working together to achieve that common goal.
So I would say, in my experience, that what you're talking about is unique. Right? So,
which is unfortunate.
And I think that sort of brings us to one of the other things that I wanted to unpack with you, which is women in management in funeral service. So not only, I've been doing this for decades, not only are most of the women that I started with no longer here, but the number of women in management or leadership positions, while it has grown, certainly not grown to the extent that the explosion of women in funeral service would make it commensurate to. So what do you feel, obviously you guys are doing a lot of things right. So can you share with our listeners what some of those things are, or what some of the pieces that you think are important in order to create an environment where women want to move into management roles? Or is there something about how we approach management roles that makes it not appealing to women?
Well, I think that women are busy. Women are so busy. So much is expected of us. We have to get up, get dressed, do our hair, our makeup. We have to get our kids up, pack the lunches, make sure the laundry is done, the forms are signed, there's gas in the car. The lawn is cut, the gardens are cared for, the house is clean. Your car is clean. Your kids need to be clean. Your daughter's favorite shirt needs to be clean. Your shoes need to be clean, because let's face it, when you're an embalmer, nobody wants to see that at church on Sunday. The homework needs to be done. You should go to the gym, get your nails done, call your mother, charge your phone, charge your kids' tablets, because it's your fault if they're not charged. There should be food in the fridge, hair elastics in your purse, food for the dog. There should be an after-school snack, and there needs to be something special for the grade 6 potluck. And I mean, it can't be 2-bite brownies, because Haley's mom made a fruit tray tray in the shape of an owl and then brought homemade spring rolls that his mother made with his Nicaraguan grandmother. So you can't cheap out. Women are exhausted, and I can see why they wouldn't want to embrace anything beyond what is the bare minimum expected of them at a funeral home. I can understand why a woman would shy away from the extra responsibility, but they excel in these roles. Women are remarkable, and they have the ability to handle whatever life throws at them and then some. Women understand what family demands are. They understand grief. They understand life, and they are compassionate to needs of the families that they serve and the families that they work with. Women are designed to care, to nurture, and to guide. They have strong shoulders and incredible ideas and the motivation and ambition to see them through. And I think women are remarkable in management and leadership roles.
I could not agree with you more, both in your conclusion and also in like all of that stuff. And you just like laid it out in a way that is like so illustrative of just like the everyday. And I found what was really challenging when I was in frontline service was you have to be so present in the moment when you're talking to families, right? Everything in your whole focus of your being needs to be on what are their needs and what. You're listening for so many little things. And yet in the background of all of that is that list that you're running through, right?
And you know you have to be home at 6:30 to get your daughter to brownies on time because you're a failure as a mom if you don't get there. But when you are at work, you need to be 100% focused on that family. And
you can't rush them, right? So you're looking at your watch without anyone seeing that you're looking at your watch. And you're thinking about, like, how am I going to get there, right? And it's bridging those two pieces. So what are you guys doing that helps with that? How do you guys get through that?
Again, it's all attributed to our team. You know, if I have to pick up my daughter at brownies at 6 or take my daughter to brownies at 6 o'clock, I have to be home to have her fed by 5:30 so I can get her there on time. So I have an employee that doesn't have kids and he's happy to stay a little bit later. So we would have him make arrangements at that later time and let him come in a little bit later the next day. So he's happy that he gets to sleep in till 10 tomorrow and stay till 6 today. You know, he's great with my schedule and I'm great with his. When he has something that he needs to do, he's an organist at his church, and we give him Sunday mornings off because we know that's a priority for him, something that means a lot to him, and we want to be making sure that our employees are where they need to be so that they can be great employees and better workers, you know, so that our families are better served.
So let's imagine that you are talking to a whole bunch of people right now, and probably someone who's listening is a woman who's maybe just starting out in funeral service, or maybe she's thinking, is a management career for me in funeral service? What would you say to her?
Rise to the challenge. Rise to the challenge. I think we don't give ourselves enough credit in this industry. I think we all kind of feel like we're not doing enough, or we're not enough, or we're not something enough. And I think you just need to serve families well. And I think you need to have not only a passion for funeral services, but you need to get your payment from work, your fulfillment from a job well done, as a family well served. You know, when you can serve a family well, that's the payment. That's the gratitude that you have for the job.
Yeah, that's the thing that's in it for you, right? Mm-hmm. I think too that far too often as women, we don't necessarily ask for what we need, right? Or we're maybe nervous about asking for what we need. And when I think back on my career, like when I started, mostly male dominated for sure, but the men that I worked with were wonderful, right? And what I learned from working with them was that they just didn't think about stuff, right? Because it had always been done a certain way for how long? Forever. And so having the courage to be able to say, hey, I think we need to do this differently, or hey, I have to, you know, I have these needs, and not being afraid to speak up and say, hey, maybe we should do something differently, right? Like, I remember when I started, there was a tradition within the funeral home that was sort of an unspoken tradition that women never drove the lead car. Right? Crazy to think about now. That was like a thing. And so I never had a chance, but nobody ever spoke about it. I didn't have a chance to drive a lead car. And then I remember a student who had come up behind me was driving the lead car. And I'm like, hey, how come I'm not driving the lead car? And I remember my manager going, oh, I don't know, we've just never had women driving lead cars. And I said, well, maybe we should try, right? Let's give it a go. And then, you know, what I found was that they were just so open to it. But I think that it's like anything, male or female, the busyness of funeral service and the reactivity that you have to have when you're a funeral director, you're just thinking about the next thing, you don't necessarily stop and think, oh, maybe we could do this a little bit differently.
Right.
So I think that that's something that maybe in some ways we hold ourselves back because we're afraid of speaking up or talking about what our needs might be. So when you talk about how it is at your funeral home, how did you get to that spot?
Oh, Laura and I listen to our staff members, and when they present ideas, they present good ideas. Our staff is smart. Our staff is, they are intelligent.
You do have an amazing staff.
They have great ideas, but I mean, there are kids coming out of Humber that have great ideas, and sometimes we need to listen to them. I'll never forget that Monty, my preceptor and the man that I brought the funeral home from, when I was just out of school and we were embalming a difficult case, and he has 40 years of embalming experience. And he says to me, what would you do in this situation? And I felt so respected in that moment because, you know, I'm really not an experienced embalmer at this point. But I've had the education. I've got the book smarts that I can say, you know, the textbook says that we should do X, Y, and Z. And he says, you know, that's not a bad idea. Why don't we try that? And it's really nice because bosses will be receptive if you are bold enough to sometimes present them with the ideas, like driving the lead car. Maybe it's something they've never thought of changing because that's just the way they've always done it. So it's not necessarily that they're holding you back, but you just haven't put it forward as an idea yet. And so maybe the new generation just needs to be a little bit, not outspoken, but they just need to share their ideas because some of them are fantastic.
Yeah, to have the confidence to like bring a new idea forward. And what's the worst thing that can happen? Right?
Not the greatest idea. You're going to have another one. So keep dreaming.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. Keep bringing it forward. But we are at time. Oh my gosh, that just went so fast. Any parting thoughts for our listeners in terms of a career, and specifically an owner-manager career in funeral service?
Oh, being an owner manager is just the best thing that has ever happened to me, especially purchasing. I purchased with the girl I went to school with, and she is the most phenomenal partner that I could have asked for. So not only do I have sort of a little bit more authority that when I need a day off, I can just tell my staff that I've got something important I need to take the day off. Owning with Laura, because we both take on sort of a management role within the funeral home. Not any one of us at the funeral home is indispensable. Laura can go on a vacation, I can go on a vacation, Grace can go on a vacation, and any one of us can step into the role that the other performs. So it's really nice because if you need time to be with your family, we can afford our employees that time because everyone can do everyone's job. So we have a very well-trained staff, and it works so that we can have a really good work and home life balance. And I think the happier and more valued your staff feels, the more loyal and dedicated they are to your firm.
I feel like you just hit on a whole other topic, which is how, as a funeral director, to learn to let go of having to do everything yourself, right? I think that that's something that it's taken me decades to be able to realize that, hey, I've got a team behind me who are fantastic, which I do, but losing that sense of needing to control every tiny little thing, right? It just comes so ingrained within us. I feel like that's a whole other topic. However, we are out of time. Becky, thank you so much for joining me today. My name is Heather Kightley, President and CEO of GFD, and we will for sure have you back. We've got at least two more topics that we're going to talk about. So thank you so much, Becky.
Thanks, Heather.